which exactly from a teacher's perspective says, can you just let me be creative for a second? Can you let me take this rubric that I don't like and shred it? And just, you want me to build this? I'll build it, but I want to use my stipulations and my parameters, and I want to inject music because I'm passionate about music. No problem. And that, again, is totally backed, and this is being forecasted as a huge problem in education. At the World Economic Forum in February, and I'm going to say this name hopefully good, Minouche Shafiq, who is the head of the London School of Economics, as well as John Ma, I think it's John Ma, if I'm not mistaken, who is the richest man in Asia, founder of Alibaba, is warning the world that the projection by 2030 is an elimination of 800 million jobs due to automation. Because he said, and I love this quote as a teacher, if a robot can do it better than a person, someone's gonna pick a robot over a human. And what does school do? School says, here's everything I just told you. Got it? Write it on a paper. Good, you're smart. But in reality, the kids often have no concept what they're writing because I didn't go deeper. So I said, all right, what am I gonna do about this? Autonomy, engagement crisis, no control, no choice, all these problems. And I said, well, let's go back to our absolute founding roots. I'm a phys ed major as my degree, so play is so fundamental to me and it's so important to me. So I looked around and I said, okay, did some Googling, and I came across this concept in 2015, very in its infancy in education, called gamification. And what is it? It literally means take the principles of game design and plunk them in an area where there's no game, like school. Matter of fact, school is probably the most anti-game thing you can have. We are, however, totally victimized by gamification on a daily basis. How many of you buy Tim Hortons coffee right now specifically because roll up the rim? I do. My coffee consumption goes up 100 times because I just want to roll up and get another subpar coffee. But there's nothing more I can do about that. How many of us have a credit card where you go around and on that credit card you had a choice between a regular one or a points one? And then you get a points credit card and you're like, oh, I'm totally screwing the system. All these purchases are getting me points. Then you're like, sweet, I got 72,000 points. What am I gonna get? A toaster, awesome. This is a $72,000 toaster. So now we have problems and issues with this. So I said, okay, I'm gonna do it. But now the problem I got when I talked about gamification in its early infancy was people said, gamers, big slobby people live in their basement, and I'm like, oh, seriously, we still talk about this? No. This guy is actually hyper-dedicated to what he does. And if I could get kids this dedicated about science, I'm totally doing my job. The second thing is that games are just absolutely littered with creativity. Why is Minecraft so popular in terms of the actual gaming community? It is simply because it is a sandbox game. If you don't want to, no one has to tell you anything. They're literally just like, here's some blocks and put them on other blocks, and holy cow, why are you playing this for 14 hours? But they will. Why? Because someone will come to this castle and go, oh my god, dude, that's amazing. And you're like, it is amazing. I am awesome. And I'm going to go ahead and build more things. And they just get absolutely stuck in the fact that they are doing something 100% at their choice. And let's just not forget this. There's nothing wrong with play and fun. So many times I meet parents who are like, well, when you're playing, I mean, how can you be learning? And I'm like, so you're calling play the antithesis of fun? And they're like, if that means what I said, then yes. And I'm like, okay, so you're telling me then that when we play, we learn nothing. It is 100% a waste of time and energy. No, point proven. Animals play to teach themselves things like, you know, hunting skills and survival skills and all that. We play for entertainment, but there's also these quick things that we gain with like reaction speeds and all these kinds of different things that actually can come through games. So I said, okay, I'm gonna do it. So in 2015, I unleashed something called the Fight for Scientia Terra, which is nothing more than the Fight for Science Land, but it sounds way cooler in Latin. So I went about it and I stripped my classroom bare and I said, I am going to find out what's actually valuable to you. Do you need desks? Do you need chairs to learn? Or is that something that teachers think you need? So they build their furniture in my room. That teaches STEM learning, something that I couldn't get through. They do practical application of all of their knowledge continuously. We build things to help people, to save people. We battle monsters in trivia contests. We go through helping younger children you come across in this game by delivering lessons to them that they memorize to then go help their own communities and yada, yada. And the whole concept is wrapped around eliminating rote memorization, because rote memorization is useless. This device that we all carry in our pocket will do anything and everything I need it to do at the moment I need it. So why would I say, hey, while you write this test, you don't get to use that. But when you start your career, you get to use that. It's completely hypocritical. So I decided to just use it all the time. So I thought I was a genius. I was like, man, this is awesome. Gosling's gonna tweet me, hey, Scott, you know, let's get some coffee. You're doing fantastic work. But in reality, I got a lot of backlash. The reason I got a lot of backlash is because I realized three things. When you wanna innovate, you wanna create, and you wanna change, we are A, fearful of change, especially in education. Here's why. If my parents learned in desks and their parents learned in desks and rows and quiet regime, well, I'm screwing up the future if they are not in desks. Because look at all the cool stuff we've done as society with desks. And I go, well, wait a second. If you read a lot of the research or a lot of the quotes about people, they were anti-desk. And a lot of them didn't even finish high school and use their own creative processes to develop the things that are so famous today. The second thing I realized is we don't like failure. However, at every teaching conference and convention I go, they bring up some researcher who says, we need to fail. And then we're like, okay, sure, what's the best practice? I don't know, but that's something we should definitely be doing. And I say, okay. So we're cool with like Pinterest fails. These are viral, right? Here's the thing, we tried it. But when it comes to a classroom, I saw how resistive teachers were about failing in front of their kids. And I'm like, but wait a second, you want them to fail, but you don't ever, so I will purposely teach lessons and experiments that screw up and then have kids pick apart why it went wrong and pretend like I had no clue unless they watch this and now they're in on it. But I will do these things to show them that I want them to take risks. Now, this again is probably the quote I live by. I was fortunate enough last year to go from convention to global news to the front page of the Edmonton Journal to making the front page of Reddit with this approach to where I started getting really awesome keyboard warrior comments about how I was ruining the future, pandering to kids, releasing another generation of snowflakes, whatever that even means. And and this was hard for me. I was like, man, I'm really trying so hard to do good for kids. I just want them to care about school. I don't care about grades and all that. I mean, let's be honest here. Let's go back to the incredible talk by Shelby. Grades in grade 8 are about as useless as bringing a bikini armor to a sword fight. They mean nothing. The only time grades matter is when they go to university. And that's like, you know, sometimes you do at the tail end of grade 10, 11, and 12. My grade, a kid wears as a badge that tells him or her if they are good at said subject. And my job is to make sure that number can be as high as possible so that they believe that they are good at that subject. And they might invite future passions and innovations and creativity in said subject. But if my goal is, I don't care about you, you're just a number on a paper and I'm just gonna push you through the system, boom, 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 then I'm not doing my job. Kids need to know that in the arena of education, I am not on the outside clapping for them. They need to know that I am in the arena fighting alongside them, picking them up when they fall down, brushing them off and saying, it is okay. Because that is what is going to create the future innovators that we so badly need with all the crazy problems that the current situations we are in. Global warming, problems with food and water, and all these different kinds of things. We need crazy, wild, innovative thinking, not someone who can say, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, and I'm going to write that down, and I'm going to pretend that I'm good at biology. That's what school is. So back to this quote. I got lambasted by people. And I really took it to heart till I realized I don't need to be a jackass whisperer. I do not need to tell people who think it's stupid why it's not. I need those kids in my classroom to believe in what we do and believe in themselves and each other, and we're gonna be fine. So really, it's up to you in whatever facet of work that you have, whether it is business, whether it is, you know, engineering, since that's a whole bunch of things we had about today about engineering. We come a lot about innovation. And it is your job to take that risk. I loved when he was talking about stepping off that carpet. Take that risk and see what comes out of it. And listen to the people you work with and work for, because they will tell you. Now, I love this quote. I want you to think in your mind when this was said. If we teach today as we taught tomorrow, or as we taught yesterday, we rob students of tomorrow. This was said in 1917. That is 101 years old this year that this quote was said. 101 years ago, we identified the education system needed to change. 101 years later, here I am talking about it. And I better not be here 101 years from now, which would be cool, talking about it again. Thank you.